Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And, oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Welcome to hour number two on a Meatloaf Monday. Yeah, buddy. All right, so I'm going to jump on into dipper number one. So first part of the triple dipper for the day, I'm calling it reconciliation because that's a big part of what we're going to talk about here in a minute. But I have to go ahead and point out that before I jump into what else is happening in congressional action, that the most important thing that could have happened today, and that's the fact that the election results have now been officially certified. Ba-ba-ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Can I have a hallelujah and then some applause? Let's go ahead and do it. That's a great combination, man. That really is. So, yeah, the election was certified. Now we just get to the inaugural, which, by the way, it looks like the lovely Charlene and I are going to the inauguration. So that's big doings. If any of y'all out there are going out to the inauguration, I'd love to know. But we've already got it laid on, and I'll be doing some streaming back and forth from the inaugural events to the Right Side Studios where the JP can put them up. But yeah, the election has been certified. Kamala has broken another glass ceiling as the first woman of color to ever certify her own election defeat in a run for the presidency. Nice! And then, of course, immediately afterwards, I'm looking at it right now, as a matter of fact, CNN immediately says, 4 years after the January 6th Capitol riot, VP Harris certifies a Trump victory. Like, why is that even necessary? It's so not necessary. Well, you know, 4 years ago, a thing happened. No. This is unreal. They can't handle it. So, all right, listen, I'll tell you what. Let me do this. I'll take a call real quick before I jump on in. I got some content here I think you're going to want to hear, but let me just grab the phone. Wolverine Dan's on line one. Wolverine Dan, how you doing, buddy?
Very well. You're coming in very faintly. Can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine, sir.
All right, great. Listen, it's been a really, really great month. I mean, think about it. I got a national championship. I beat Alabama twice in the same calendar year. And my Detroit Lions locked a first-round bye. I'm telling you, it don't get no better. And then we're going to have a president that's going to clean all this mess up. And when you said it was confirmed on the vote, they certified it.
Yeah.
Was that Kamala doing that, or was is Kamala going to have
this?
It was.
Kamala.
Oh,
She had to stand up there and preside over it. I just posted an image on my social media of Mike Johnson sitting behind her just smiling while she had to keep a poker face on and certify the vote.
So she didn't mess it up, no word salad or anything?
Nah, she went ahead and just went with it. But then again, I think she was reading it, so it's okay.
Well, our traffic report, too, it's bumper to bumper here off the Rideout Road area, the exit going on to 565. It's a mess.
All right, well, be careful, man.
Listen, bottom line is, listen, go President Trump. It's just a matter of weeks away. We're going to get everything squared away. It's a lot of mess, so there's going to be a lot of mops, a lot of draining buckets and cleaning the water back out and mopping back up again. But we're going to get it all clean, Phil, and we're going to get this country back in the right direction.
Amen to that, brother. Amen. All right, take care. Wolverine Dan, appreciate you. That's a good call. And by the way, like you said, out there by Rideout Road, it's a mess. So if you're in the go home mode right now and you're going in that direction or heading out in that direction, you might want to find an alternate route. Okay, so here's the thing: the Republicans now own it all. Now we haven't seated. I mean, we seated the House and the Senate, so that's good. Trump does not take office for another 10 days, 13 days. No, I'm sorry. On the 20th, so 14 days.
Or 2 weeks.
Yeah, 2 weeks from today. But for all practical purposes, Washington, D.C. is now owned, if you will, by the Republicans. A conservative majority on the Supreme Court, a conservative slim majority in both the House and Senate, and a soon-to-be president's or executive branch. That's all the branches of government. Guess what that means? We own everything, including the mistakes. We also own anything that we don't do. If we come in there with a mandate that we've been given, I say we, they, but you know what I'm saying. If they walk in the door and blow it and don't get it done, and they can't move the legislation, and they decline to get something done, and they play politics as usual, and they spend, and they don't get the border secure, then guess what? We own it at that point. We own it. Now, having said that, I will say this. Now, Speaker Mike Johnson this past Friday, he survived what wound up being a very tepid challenge to his authority or his leadership. He was renewed as the Speaker of the House. Now, the majority is so slim that the count was like, whoo, like way low. And let's not forget that what we're looking at right now is not only is it a slim majority, I think 220 to 215, I think, is the max we can have right now. But here in the next couple of weeks, you've got Matt Gaetz is already gone, so we're down to 219. And then, so there was a special election coming for his seat. You've got the, you've got, what's his name, Michael Waltz from Florida also gone. You got Marco Rubio in the Senate gone because they're all going to the Trump administration. So we're about to get real slow. Oh, and at least Stefanik from New York gone. So we're about to get real slim, like ain't no room for error. They have to get confirmed first before they'll resign, but nonetheless, my understanding, but nonetheless, we're going to need some people. And the truth is, if we're going to get something done, we got to move while we can. So Mike Johnson came on, Speaker Mike Johnson, after winning the speaker's race, he gave a speech from the floor of the House. Great job. And I love this, by the way. This is what I would love. Not only do I love this speech, but what I want to see is the nuts and bolts of what they're going to do to fit into each category. So he outlined in his speech, with a 19-minute speech, he outlined 7 principles. I pulled this off Daily Wire. In his acceptance speech, he outlined 7 principles that he said would guide his time as a Speaker of the House. 7 principles. You ready for them? Number 1, freedom. Number 2, limited government. Number 3, the rule of law. Number 4, peace through strength. Number 5, fiscal responsibility. Number 6, free markets. And number 7, human dignity. Wow. You get all that done, sir. You get all the, if those are your guiding principles. Now, see, I've said on this show before, principles are bigger than policy. Policy should be guided by principles. Policy too often is guided by whims. Which way is the wind blowing today? I feel, I mean, people like that instead. I'll do that then. I believe in this until I don't. You know, that's what we've had for the last 4 years. And then too often, that's what we have, even when Republicans are in charge. What we need is principled leadership. And I'm going to tell you right now, Mike Johnson just outlined the principles that I care about. Freedom, limited government, rule of law, peace through strength, fiscal responsibility, free markets, human dignity. He's erring on the side of liberty is what he's doing. And that is huge. And if we can do it, if we can do it, if we can hold that line, it's going to be an entire new day for this country. He also said, by the way, that in doing so, those are the principles, but some of the things that are going to occur, he said that the absolute top priority for Congress, for him as Speaker, is securing America's borders. Glad to hear it. Glad to hear it. Because, yes, that is, I mean, if we don't have security, we can't get anything else done. Now, here's the thing. We got some wrangling. Trump has an agenda, and it includes a number of things. Border security, extending the Trump tax cuts, and maybe even increasing them. And then you got energy. And those three things, those tax policies, energy, and the border, Trump is now pushing for those to be put into one piece of legislation. Just one. Like don't mess around. Now, you may look at that and go, okay, what's the big deal? It is a big deal. It's also very hard to do. Why? Because in order to make that happen, you have to have what's called a reconciliation bill passed. typically in the promoting of legend. By the way, let me back up. There are rules and there are regulations that govern how the body can function. You can't just willy-nilly do stuff. There are procedures, there are votes, there are procedural votes, there are things that have to be done in a certain order, there are things that have to be said. Does it sound stodgy? Sometimes, but you know what? There's a formality to it that not only puts a solemn approach to the passage of laws, hopefully, but also means that things can't happen out of order. It means that somebody can't hijack the process. It means that people can't run amok. If you know the rules, by the way, you can get a lot done. I saw that in Montgomery. I'll never forget. Somebody told me when I first got down there, if you will memorize the rules, if you will know the rules, you will be able to get more done on the floor of the Senate than anybody else. And there were time and time again when I would recognize that the rules allowed me to say or do something when somebody else didn't want me to. And there were also times when I literally pulled the rule book out of the drawer at my desk on the Senate floor. And I would look at it and I'd go, shoot. And I'd walk up to the top of the front of the room and I'd ask the parliamentarian, if I go to the microphone, can I do this? And he would tell me yay or nay. If you know the rules, you can get a lot done. Well, one of those rules involves a thing called reconciliation in the U.S. Congress. So we're going to talk about that when we get back. What is reconciliation? Can we get all this stuff done at one time? Why do we want to get it done at one time? And oh, by the way, why would we not want to get it done at one time? I got plenty on that. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, pulling pins on truth grenades. That's what we're doing. So reconciliation, what is that? So you've got right now the Speaker of the House is saying we're going to bring the Trump agenda, which what I love is it's the Trump agenda, but it's really the Republican agenda. I love the idea that we have an agenda. First of all, take note of the fact that it's been a while since we've been able to say we have a Republican agenda. It's been so much just catch as catch can, do what we can, get a little something put in the bill. Can we get it through the Senate? I don't know. No. I love the idea that we control our own destiny at this point. That also means we have to govern. There are times when being in the minority is actually easier because all you got to do is say no. Now that you're in charge, you got to get something done. Well, reconciliation is a means by which they can take things that are not normally considered germane and add them together and pass it. And I'm making that overly simplistic, but there it is. And I'll explain it more in a minute. But Trump is now asking, Washington Examiner has a piece. Trump is now asking for his major policy positions, his agenda items, to be reconciled into one bill that would then be passed right away. Now, when I say right away, it doesn't happen overnight. The bill has to get put together. It has to go through the committee process. It has to be debated. And that's not just because, well, they got to waste some more time. No, that's the process. That's what has to happen. And it should. That gives it a chance for bill to be massaged, to be worked on. And it should take that time. But they're still looking at, Mike Johnson says, where's that other piece I've got here? This one from Politico. Phil, did you go to Politico? I did. Politico. Speaker Mike Johnson says that the reconciliation bill in what Donald Trump calls a, quote, big, beautiful budget reconciliation package could be passed as early as April 3rd. Trump gets in office January 20th. Nothing is really going to happen in the week thereafter with all the celebrations and people moving in and all that kind of stuff. Getting their offices seated, confirmation of is a big deal in the Senate right now for the various Trump cabinet positions. But then comes the work. February, March, 60 days, hopefully early April, we see a reconciliation bill that has all this stuff in it. The problem is, this is not what the House and Senate originally wanted to do. The House is now apparently on board, but they're having to examine whether they can get it done. Because you wind up, when you put things together sometimes, having second and third order effects you didn't see. You also wind up having people who, I don't want to deal with that right now. I'm not ready to deal with the border, but I'll deal with you on the tax cuts, or vice versa. How much time do I have? Do I have time for a sound clip right now, JP?
Got about 2 minutes.
Representative Jason Smith. tell you what, I'll hold it to after the break because I don't want to have to cut him off in mid-sentence. So Maria Bartiromo did a great job with this whole thing over the weekend on Fox News. And she had an interview she had done with Representative Jason Smith, Republican out of Missouri, who is, I believe, the chairman of House Appropriations. And then she followed up with Senator Lindsey Graham, who threw a little bit of cold water on it. Not that he says he's again the projects. He's again doing them as one. He just wants to deal with border first. He wants to do tax cuts later. I get a little concerned about that. Part of me thinks that's a establishment guy's way of saying, I'm not really ready to give back more money. I really think that me right now, sitting here, knowing what I know, which is not everything, but knowing what I know right now, I say package these bills up while we have the momentum and get them done. Do the reconciliation. Now, what is reconciliation? It's a filibuster-proof opportunity to pass things that normally don't get passed in one lump sum. It can only be used, by the way, get this. I pulled this off the Brookings Institute. Brookings Institute, Phil? Did you go there? I did. Brookings Institute. Kind of liberal, but they had some good stuff on this. They point out that reconciliation is a way for Congress to put things together like taxes and spending and debt limits and all that kind of stuff to where all you need is a simple majority to get it passed, like 51 votes or 50 if the vice president kicks in a vote in the Senate. And then it avoids the threat of a filibuster. And here's the deal. It's only been used 22 times since 1980. That's kind of a big deal. This is what they used to pass the Bush tax cuts, the Trump tax cuts, and, oh, by the way, the Affordable Care Act, the Obamacare. But it can only be used twice in 1 year. I told you there's rules. There's a way they have to do it. Can they do it? We'll talk about it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, reconciliation. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Man, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation and soon to be the one to our North Tennessee. Yeah, buddy. Right now, we currently go from the top of Huntsville down to Birmingham, from Tuscaloosa back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. Coming up here in about, 1 week from today. Exactly 1 week prior to the inauguration.
Yeah, that's true.
Exactly 1 week from today, we go live on WGOW 1150 AM out of Chattanooga, and we are stoked. So looking forward to having East Tennessee, Northwest Georgia, and a corner of Northeast Alabama in the listening area live on the radio.
I like how it's 1 week after the certification, 1 week before the inauguration. Just right in there perfectly.
It feels rather, I don't know, prescient.
It's not a coincidence.
Rather timely.
Yeah.
Rather ordained. Can I have a hallelujah? I think I need one. I'm enjoying that sound effect today. There you go. All right. Hey, reconciliation. So I'm not going to belabor this too much, but there are rules by which the House, it's frustrating from the outside. Why are they taking so long to get this done? Well, part of it is because they have to. Now, if they put things together that are not usually germane to each other, by the way, I got to tell a funny story now. Now, see, I just did this. I just did this to myself. I got to chase a rabbit. I'm on the floor of the Senate in Montgomery. And one of the Democrats, Senator Bobby Singleton from Greene County, I believe, was up there and he was wearing something out. And he was going to town, man. And whenever Bobby Singleton got it could be amusing. I mean, he would intentionally be amusing, but he would like just crack us up sometimes. Other times it was maddening. But one time he was on something and he was just talking about stuff. And I thought, you know, he's not even being, and I was kind of being that guy. And I was just, I looked at him and I wrote a sticky note and I walked up there and I slapped it on the podium and I gave him the look and I walked away. And I mean, he knew I was kind of messing with him, but, and I walked away and the sticky note said, stay germane. And he goes, stay germane. I have been told I have to stay germane. I'm going to be germane and Tito and Michael and the whole Jackson 5. How you like me now? So There's a story that was really funny to me at the time. But anyway, so you got to stay germane to the topic. But the way you do this up in D.C. to get something done in a combined effect is what they call reconciliation process. It literally requires the House and the Senate to agree on what's called a budget resolution. In other words, they have to isolate by vote certain things to the side and allow for certain things to take effect and to be coupled together. I'm oversimplifying it, but what I'm truthfully telling you is to do a single omnibus bill like this called a reconciliation bill, there are procedural hurdles they have to get through. Trump wants it done. Trump is asking right now to get this done. Now, here's the other thing. You can get, and this cracks me up, you can get this stuff added together, and then during the debate, you have what's known as the Byrd Rule, named after former Senator Robert Byrd. And the Byrd Rule literally gives senators the right to object to any certain provision on the basis of spending or revenue, and they're allowed then to raise a point of order. Now, this, I mean, I did this all the time. I would go to the floor of the Senate, and I would say, you know, Madam President, I have a point of order. For what purpose do you rise? I have a point of order, Madam President. Yes, the floor recognizes Senator Williams for a point of order. State your point. And I would make my point, and then the parliamentarian would have to rule. And that's a means by which you can verify they can do something. You can also slow down the process, and you can interrupt their train of thought. I'm just saying, it's a tactic. But I would do this stuff, and that's what they're doing. The Byrd Rule in D.C. allows them to do the same thing. A point of order as to whether something is germane or merely considered incidental. If, in fact, they can get something carved out, it becomes known as a bird dropping. How's that? The Byrd Rule can create bird droppings, and those things that are cut out and lay around at the end are provisions that are no longer necessary. They're known as a bird bath.
That's funny.
Don't tell me they don't have a sense of humor in D.C.
Where's
they,
the bird seeds in there?
Yeah. Oh, I like it. What else can we do? Bird seeds? I don't know.
Anything bird at all.
Bird strikes?
Bird
strikes,
yeah.
All right, so all that to say, Trump wants it put together, though. Is it too big to get it done? I don't know. I got a sound. Let me do this. I'm going to jump on that sound clip. Johnson says, Speaker Johnson says, he thinks they can get the reconciliation bill on Trump's desk by April. The Senate's got a little bit of a dash of cold water to throw on it. But let me play this clip for you first. Maria Bartiromo with Representative Jason Smith, chairman of the House Appropriations Committee, on why he thinks we need to do it and do it fast and do it now. Play it.
And now this.
I am saying we need a reconciliation bill that has border, energy, permitting, and tax. You put all four of those things together, we can deliver on that. In fact, in the House, we have been working for months, Maria, in preparation for this large omnibus bill. We need to deliver this win as early as possible to President Trump. And Maria, what everyone needs to pay attention to is Congress has not passed two reconciliation bills into law since 1997 when Newt Gingrich was Speaker. And guess what? They had a much larger majority. And you know what? The House of Representatives majority is 220 to 215 and will be at 217 to 215 in just a few weeks. We have a smaller margin than what the United States Senate does. It is harder to pass bills in the House than it is in the Senate.
Is there a risk that a second reconciliation bill doesn't happen at the end of the year?
Absolutely. That is what I've been sounding the alarm the whole time.
Okay, so stop it right there real quick because we're going to come back to that sound clip in a minute. What he was just saying was he's of the mind that we need to strike while the iron's hot. He's concerned about the fact that we're going to have a smaller majority even potentially later. We also, by the way, have several special elections, which are in safe zones. I mean, they're in very red districts, like to fill Lee Stefanik and Michael Waltz and Matt Gaetz' seats. But why run the risk? He's saying if we split this up, if we run it in two bills, if we put border security in one, tax cuts in another, well, then we run the risk of one of them not getting done because we're waiting till later when we have a slimmer majority to work with. I do not disagree with that. Now, here's the thing. Senate establishment guys don't like this idea. At least they're lukewarm to the idea. In the wake of that discussion just a moment ago with Maria Bartiromo and Representative Jason Smith, she had Senator Lindsey Graham come on. Lindsey Graham immediately went on a bit of a diatribe, and I don't disagree with anything he said, but he went on a she asked him about reconciliation. He immediately went into border security and tried to filibuster the moment. She actually had to bring him back around to the question of what are you going to do? He's telling members of the House and, for that matter, in the Senate, who are all for the tax cuts, that that's not necessary yet, that we need to work on border security as the only thing that we're concerned about because it's the number one thing on everybody's plate. Why put things with it? Why couple it together? I'm telling you, folks, that to me sounds like somebody who is willing to say, you know what, maybe we don't extend the tax cuts. We'll negotiate that letter. If they don't put border security with this, it's because they've got ulterior motives, in my opinion. They've got a plan. I don't think it's because they're concerned they couldn't get border security passed. I think it's because they're not sure they want to get tax cuts passed, and they don't want to get caught not voting on a bill that contains border security. That's what I'm concerned about. Let's tell you what, let's play this Lindsey Graham a little bit. Go ahead and play it.
And that was House Ways and Means Committee Chairman Jason Smith with me last month on Mornings with Maria, echoing what appears to be what President Trump wants, as you just heard from the Speaker, Mike Johnson. That is one large reconciliation package within the first half of the year, perhaps to be on President Trump's desk by the end of April, to include border security, deportations, energy permitting, and tax extensions, all in one package, as opposed to two reconciliation bills, which was what my next guest was planning. Join me now with the agenda and the man writing legislation helping to set that agenda in the Senate is South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham, the chairman of the Senate Budget Committee. Senator, great to see you this morning. Thanks so much for being here. You heard Mike Johnson and what President Trump wants. Can you get it done?
I'm very worried. I'm very worried that if we don't put border first and get it done, it's going to be a nightmare for our national security. We've got millions of illegal immigrants that President Trump has promised to deport, and he should. Why are we doing mass deportation? Because we had mass illegal immigration. Lakin Riley's murderer was released because there was no bed space to hold him, and he was paroled, and he raped and killed the girl. Right now, we have 41,000 beds. Under the Trump plan, we're going to go to 150,000 beds. We're going to double the number of ICE agents to find people and kick them out. We're going to finish the wall and put technology on the border to shut it down. That cost $100 billion. I'm willing to offset the $100 billion with cuts in other places, but there's no way in hell Democrats are going to give us $100 billion for mass deportation. Every day we delay is a dangerous day for America. 3,000 Americans die from fentanyl poisoning every 2 weeks. I've never seen so many threats to our nation as I do now. It started with Afghanistan. ISIS is on the move. They're coming here. Last year, we found 8 people from Tajikistan that were affiliated with ISIS. I wrote a letter to Schumer saying, let's have a hearing about ISIS-K in Afghanistan. He blew me off for an entire year. Now he wants a hearing about New Orleans. The threats to our nation are large. I want the tax cuts. They're $4.7 trillion. They will ruin the economy if they expire at the end of the year. I will try to be a team player here, but I want to tell the American people, from my point of view, the number one job is to secure the nation for the federal government. Our border is broken. I wanted it fixed by February the 17th to the tax cut wing of the party. I am with you, but if you hold border security hostage to get tax cuts, you're playing Russian roulette with our national security.
Okay, back. All right, stop there. All right, so what you just heard was someone who is advocating for border security, granted, and I get it, totally get it. But he's advocating for setting aside tax cuts in favor of just getting border security done by itself first. The question I have is, why are they not all on board with doing everything at one time? And if the House can get it all done at one time, why can't the Senate? All right, his point is he believes that one being coupled with the other could jeopardize the whole thing. If that's the case, then we don't really have a majority. What he's saying right there is that literally, there are members of the Senate who will vote for border security who are not prepared to vote for an extension of the tax cuts. That's what he's saying. He's also saying that there are those who are so hawkish on spending that they are willing to sacrifice border security to get the tax cuts done first, and they'll hold the border security hostage. Listen, I look at that and I think all the more reason to couple them together so everybody gets what they want at one time and be done. Now, will there be some massaging of the content? Certainly. Will they have this dollar sign move to that dollar sign? Yes. Will they move a decimal point here? Yes. Will they make sure that they include language that, you know, it makes somebody else happy in Texas but not in Arizona? I mean, yes, all that. That's the debate. But there should be no debate on getting all of it done. There should be a border security, tax cut, energy plan, put in one omnibus bill, pass it through reconciliation, and get it done. And now, I'm not up there. My political experience is in the state capitol. I don't know what I don't know in terms of what they know, because I know for a fact there have been times when I have been in the middle of a debate and had somebody in the media say something and me think they don't understand the process. So if there's a piece of this that I don't see right now, someone is welcome to explain it to me. If you can tell me why not, then okay. But the rules allow for reconciliation twice a year. The rules allow for it to be a coupling of things that would otherwise not necessarily be germane to each other to get done in one omnibus piece. President Trump is calling for it. The House is saying they can do it. The Senate needs to be ready to do it. And this is my concern about having people like John Thune and Lindsey Graham being in charge, because the establishment does not like to be told what to do. And the establishment does not like to be told they can't spend more money. And the establishment does not like to have procedure move them faster than they would care to go.
Well, I saw he did, Thune did an interview. He said that his job is to explain to Trump what's realistic in the Senate and what can be done. And it's like, no, that's not. That's not your job, actually.
Well, I mean, he runs the Senate, but if it turns out that the Senate is going to pull another John McCain and not repeal Obamacare kind of thing, then my God, I'm gonna go scorched earth on that. All right, we got to take a break. Let's take a break right now. I'll come right back, and we're going to switch gears. There you go, reconciliation. The plan is underway. The debate is yet to come. They got to reconcile the bills, so to speak. Oh, my gosh. The machinations in D.C. But y'all stay tuned. We're going to talk about the world stage next. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.